Well, we have experience at one side getting a lot of picks, and as the other side watches, it's really it was a little bit of a deja vu for as far as the way the draft came off. It seemed at times that our board was definitely tilted towards defense. And, you know, the draft process is very similar to, you know, game planning for a big game. You really have to trust your game plan, you know, trust your board. And that's what we did, you know, the last 3 days. And that's why, it shook out the way it did with six defensive players and two offensive players.
Mike, do you feel your defense needed fixing or this draft is going to do that?
Well, I don't think you walk into, you know, one opportunity of player acquisition and say you fix something. I think it's a mindset that I don't really participate in. You know, you have three ways to improve your football team during the off season. You know, obviously veteran free agency, your off season program, and then through the NFL draft. So this is a step in improving our football team. The last 2 weeks is, in my view, is the biggest step of improving your football team, and that's the development of players in the off season program. So it'll be great to get this draft class here. For the rookie orientation in 2 weeks, they'll be able to stay right through the rookie orientation, right into the May and June workouts. So, our off-season program is the foundation of our success with our draft and develop philosophy, and it'll be great to add these young men to that program.
Mike, was that the reason for waiting 2 weeks to go with the rookie camp, or was there some other
conflict? There's a couple of things that factored into the scheduling of the rookie orientation 2 weeks after the draft. I mean, it's debatable, you know, based on how it affects your ability to acquire rookie free agents, the ability to extend the weekend right into the player stay, and where they only have to travel once is also accommodating. We're able to keep them instead of them flying out after rookie orientation and coming back. So that's part of it. I think the fact that you can get through the draft and you're not sprinting into the following week is helpful. I prefer to have it 2 weeks after the draft, and it works better with our schedule.
Do you expect this fall of defensive players to improve your defense, make you a better defensive
player? I expect that the individuals that were selected the last 3 days to improve our football team. It's very important to keep reality of the expectations in line. It's no different than we've done any other year. You know, draftable players are important acquisitions, no different than any other player in the past. And it's I'm more focused on making sure, you know, the landscape, their opportunities, their training gives them the opportunities to be succeed. But at the end of the day, they're competing for a spot on our 53-man roster, and with that, any player that's on the 53 at the end of the, you know, training camp will improve our football team.
Mike, can you talk about
BJ Ballman? Yeah, BJ, lot to be excited about as far as his skill set. You know, obviously the injuries were probably a factor in where he was drafted. So he was clearly the most excited young man on the phone of the eight. And he's told me it's the best pick we ever made in Green Bay. And I says, you know, we've had some pretty good quarterbacks here. But he's excited. And we're looking forward to getting our hands on him and make him part of our quarterback room. And it's an excellent room. We've had 2 weeks already with the quarterbacks in the off-season program. So it'll be good to add another face in there.
Mike, do you want a veteran backup in that spot? Are you comfortable with the guys you have right now?
I don't think you just say, hey, I need a veteran backup. You know, we have, you know, the MVP and Aaron Rodgers is our number one, and now we feel like we have three, you know, really good candidates to compete for two spots, you know, or possibly three. So the roster will shake that out. And it's our job as coaches to make sure that they're trained and they're ready to go. So regardless of how many years of experience they have.
Mike, you talked about being unhappy with the tackling. Was a group of six guys helping that? And did you focus on that at all when you were even picking these six guys?
Well, tackling is obviously part of their grade. Anytime you're grading a defensive player or a special teams player. So these six defensive players all had excellent grades on them. So it really factored for us to get out of character of Ted Thompson, his philosophy. He, you know, for Ted to trade up three times in one draft was fun. It was fun to sit next to him and watch him growl through it. But it was important. Once again, to trust your board, you know, going up and getting Manning, you know, was for good reason, and that's what we did. So definitely the tackling, it was, is part of these six defensive players all being good football players. Time will answer that. I mean, we're hopeful. You know, it's important to, you know, keep the expectations in tune. We're not going to do depth charts today. We kind of usually start having this conversation in OTAs or training camp. You know, depth chart. We don't have an 11-man depth chart on any side of the ball. It's important for us to get everybody ready to be flexible. We know as well as anybody, it takes all of them to win a championship. So we're going to get them all ready to play.
What if Perry is the next Clay Matthews? What if he does what Matthews did right away?
Hell, it'd be great. I mean, I'm all for it, and it'd be great to have another Clay Matthews. But I don't think it's healthy. I don't think it's right to compare players. Nick will pave his own way in this league. We'll make, you know, he has an excellent position coach in Kevin Green and knows that position better than anybody. And we'll get Nick ready to play, and I'm looking forward to seeing him contribute.
What would be the conversion, though, for Nick Perry to go from the
field? I'm sorry? Beginning of
your... Tell fans what the conversion would be like, though, for Perry Bowles.
Are you saying conversion?
Yeah, from the defensive okay. end to the outside linebacker. You know, does he need to lose weight or, you know, the skill set he'll have to learn to compete at outside linebacker position?
Well, I mean, as far as what he weighs and his makeup, we feel like we have a very good handle. You know, 271 and to move the way he did at the combine, you know, I don't know why his weight would really be an issue. But, you know, in fairness to Nick, I mean, he's training and doesn't know where he's going to play. You know, he's going through job interviews here the last couple months and I'm not sure if he's going to be a defensive end or an outside linebacker. So I think the conversion will be seamless. You watch his movement skills. I think the transition will not be very difficult.
Looking at your defensive line, what's your take on them right now compared to where you were at the end of last season?
Well, we definitely have, you know, we have more depth. The competition has definitely gone to a higher level, and that's what we need. I'll say this: 2 weeks ago, we had a team meeting, and standing in front of our team, that's as good as a group that I've stood in front of, you know, in April. And now to add the competition that we've added to our current players we're just heightening the competition. And you know, we didn't play very well in defense, so we need to coach better, we need to play better, we need to do better, on offense. There's things that we're going to slightly change, some things on offense, and our players are starting to see the changes as we go through the offseason program, and no different on special teams. So our competition at training camp has been outstanding the last 2 years. I'm hoping this year that it's even higher than it's been, and we're gonna have to make some very difficult decisions when it comes time to pick our final football team. And today is direct reflection of trusting your board, bringing quality people, quality football players into our program.
Mike, what kind of things are you gonna change on offense? Or is there any part of the offensive depth that concerns you at this point?
Well, we're going to run the ball more because we got to get our stats up. You know, we that's a joke. But, you know, we scored a lot of points last year. There's a standard that's been set, and that's something that we want to, you know, go after every year. I thought the offense, you know, last year clearly was the best that we had played. It's the best offense I've ever been a part of, and it's about putting the ball in the end zone. So, but there's some things that we feel that we need to do to try to stay, you know, one step ahead, hopefully, with the defensive challenges that we're going to see in the upcoming season. So, well, I'm sorry, what was the second
depth
part of your
question?
Depth? No, I feel we have good depth, and, you know, it's really the draft still going on as we are all here right now with the rookie free agent, you know, recruiting that's going on. And we've done very well in that market, and I'm confident we'll do well again.
When you either back to football as normal in the offseason after the lockout last year, how important, not only with this draft class, but even kind of going back to last year's draft class, to be involved with these OTAs and mandatory mini camps, or were they able to make up that lost time, too?
Well, I'm not sure what the first – I didn't hear the first part of your question. You're just saying how important this offseason – it's really important for three classes. I mean, that's the way we – that's the way we address it as a coaching staff. Our schedule, as far as what the coaches are asked to do March, April, May, and June, is different than it's ever been. We've shifted a huge time commitment to particularly these last three classes, well aware of the work that was done in the past, that we felt it's helped us be successful, that is now not there just because of the changes in the CBA. So we've made adjustments in how we're going to schedule our time with our players, and it's really because of these last three classes have never really gone. I'm counting this year's, the last two in this year's class have never gone through a full off-season program. But I think the changes in the schedule are obvious. You know, we haven't handled football yet. You know, we start handling the football as a football team, and even more so as quarterbacks, March 16th in a normal year. You know, so we're not going to touch a football till May, and you know, those are the types of things that we had to address as a staff in our scheduling, not only in the off season but in training camp. So you'll see some things that are a little different, and once we get to the training camp practices and the things that we're trying to emphasize, because lost time, there's things you're able to accomplish in March and April as a team, but. You know, I have to make sure our team is ready and given the opportunity to make up for that last time.
What impressed you about Andrew Dadfield?
Well, heck of a football player. You know, clearly, an injury situation. I would have had a lot higher grade, you know, if it wasn't for his shoulder. Smart, tough. I know everybody's excited about him. And, you know, you get into the draft process on when you're going to, you know, take a chance medically, because, you know, that is part of your decision making. So I think he'll be an excellent fit in our offensive line. Well, the physical part of it, I mean, I think that's the one thing. You know, he's, you know, 10 and 3/8, you know, the big hands and long arms is something I pay close attention to, particularly with, you know, being in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I'm not saying you can't play without it. I think it is a plus as far as the evaluation process. But, you know, everybody, you know, known his history and, you know, the ability to improve Chattanooga from, you know, the record. I mean, so you can see the improvement. Very, very anxious young man, but his skill set is something that we really were intrigued by and want to develop.
Mike, how difficult?
I think he'll be fine. Dr. McKenzie said he's going to be fine, so please write that. McKenzie said he's going to be fine. He's going to be ready to go. So we've got a great medical staff.
How difficult was it for you personally to say goodbye to Nick and Chad?
I'll tell you, it's something I will never get used to. That was a hard week. Starting with Chad on Monday and Nick, you know, both obviously medical situations that led to that decision. But, you know, it's the obvious is, you know, how good a player is that Chad has been throughout his career. And, you know, and I look at Nick Collins. I mean, I think Nick and Chad will both, without a doubt, be in the Green Bay Packer Hall of Fame. But, you know, Nick Collins, if you look at the beginning of his resume, you know, he had a heck of a chance to go to Canton just the way he was starting. In, you know, the first half of his career. So, but that really was not the tough part at all, because it wasn't a professional decision. It was clearly a personal decision. So, specifically with Nick Collins, just based on the information as an organization, you know, Ted Thompson and I sat down, and you know, the final question that's asked is if Nick was your son, would you let him play? So, and that's why we made a decision we did. And, you know, same with Chad. I mean, Chad Clifton's going to be missed around here. I mean, you're talking about two great guys in a locker room, wonderful human beings, excellent teammates, two men that we classify as core players. They're a big part of the way our locker room is. We take a lot of pride in the culture and the way we go about things. And Chad Clifton and Nick Collins exemplify that to the max.
Mike, what happens at left tackle? Is this kind of an opportunity for Marshall in the
Definitely. I mean, we're excited about what Marshall Newhouse contributed last year. You know, Derek's fighting through his medical situation. He's improving, so you'll have competition there. But I really like what I see in Marshall, and I really like what I've seen from our football team here the last 2 weeks. So I think we're further ahead than we've been in prior years. So it's a different year. You know, I mean, last year you kind of got to throw out because we obviously with the lockout, but. I really like what I've seen from our team. The workouts have been outstanding. Mark Lovott and his staff have been waiting, you know, five or six extra weeks to get their hands on these guys, and they've really challenged them through the strength and conditioning. The meetings have been excellent. So it's always fun when the players come back. It brings a ton of energy into the building. It's been great to go to quarterback meetings again, but we're back at it.
Was there any thought of shifting Brian over the left tackle, or any thought of that, or is he locked in at right tackle?
No, we're really not there. I mean, I don't see any reason to even go down that road. But I think Brian's on the verge of being a Pro Bowler right tackle. You know, I look for him to have that type of season. He looks great. He was here throughout the winter. I don't even know if he's left Green Bay for, you know, a long period of time. So I've seen a lot of Brian almost daily since the season's over, and he looks great.
Do you have a prognosis yet on Derek Sherrod's recovery?
Right now they're telling me training camp, so I don't think we're in any danger of that.
Good morning.
Mike, on a lighter note, did you see Donald dancing?
Yeah, of course. You know, but I didn't realize it was such a tough thing for a man to admit they watch Dancing with Stars. So, I mean, and if I'm not at home, we have to DVR it and watch it as a family. So, yeah, we're sitting there rooting him on and voting 8 times like you're supposed to. And I think he's doing a great job. He's keeping in shape, that's for sure. Not that it was ever an issue with Donald, but I think it's a great experience for him and his family.
You expect that he will be at training camp and be part of this team in 2012?
I have no reason not to speculate, you know, on that. I'm just going to follow Ted's answer to that question. So I'll give you a ditto on that.
Speaking of Ted, you mentioned just how trading up, and it was fun to watch him do that. He's only done it 3 times prior to this draft. In 7 years, he did it 3 times in 2 days. Did that even surprise you?
Not really. I mean, it doesn't for me. I think it's maybe more my personality. But, you know, Ted Thompson knows this business inside and out. He knows the value of a draft pick. I mean, he puts a lot of stock in every single draft pick, you know, 1 through 7. So, he takes a lot of pride and a lot of discipline in how he makes these decisions for the Green Bay Packer organization. So, I don't think sometimes people realize, you know, when you do trade up, which if you're giving up a pick, I mean that's added value. But we did it with good reason, and I was very excited about the 6 defensive players that we were able to attain, you know, with that type of philosophy.
Mike, is Saturday able to replace Scott Walsworth, a veteran Saturday? Mm-hmm. Are you confident in the backup for Jeff going into this season?
Definitely. I mean, we have, you know, we train our core offensive linemen, and I refer to the core, both guards and centers are all trained the same. So Evan Dietrich Smith, him and Brian Bulaga, I mean, have clearly been permanent fixtures here since the season's ended. So I'm very happy with what I've seen from Evan. And, you know, also, you know, both T.J. Lang and Josh Sitton are trained as centers. And, you know, we got a couple of our young guys that are going to develop, and we'll find out more as we go through the offseason. So, yeah, I feel very, very good about the offensive line as a whole, particularly the core, the guards and center.
Last one.
Mike, you have a lot of different athletes that you added on defense, different positions and different types of helps and things like that. Is that going to affect how you play defense a little bit this year?
Well, I think it'll give us more versatility in how we play defense as far as the different defensive personnel groups, playing maybe more people than we did in the past. The fact that we did score so many points quite often put stresses on our defense that we had not had before. So, you know, that's something that we spent a lot of time looking at as a coaching staff and feel we could do a better job of being, you know, more creative and utilizing our personnel in the sub packages. So the ability to get more athletic and the ability to have more pass rush from both the inside and outside players on the defense, you know, was a focus. So, and I think that's reflected with the people that we've acquired both in free agency and the draft.